I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. Mark Christopher Lawrence has an incredible knack for stealing most any scene that he's in. Whether he's only got a couple of lines with Will Smith in The Pursuit of Happiness, or he's yelling at Zachary Levi as Big Mike every week on Chuck, you're going to always remember him. And he's not one to sit still and rest on his laurels. He does theater, stand-up, voiceover, writing, and producing. He's truly a multi-talented guy.
So, you're currently in the show Chuck. The show has a rabid fan base. Do you get recognized for that a lot?
Yeah, pretty much every day.
Dude, yeah. There's a story you told that you were in four pilots the year you got Chuck, but I think you said Chuck was only a guest star role in that pilot?
Right.
How did you... was it just a gamble that you took that you got Chuck? I mean, that you auditioned for Chuck?
It was no real gamble. I mean, it was just one of the things that came across the plate that year, and so we just auditioned for everything that came across, and just happened that Chuck was the only thing that I got booked in.
Since it was only a guest star role, did you have a feeling that it might have been that it could be up to a series regular?
No, I didn't even read it. I actually just read the sides because I was really concentrating on those other pilots because they were series regular roles.
Yeah.
And so I read the sides, the night before I went in to audition and just prepared, to go in and try to get a job. And maybe because I was so relaxed that it wasn't that important for me.
That happens a lot when you don't really care about if you get it or not. Boom, you get it.
Well, I think what happens is when you're at that point where, not that you don't care because you want to work, so I think when you're at that point where it's not that important, you have this sort of relaxed state that you walk into the room with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, that was part of it, me being really relaxed. The other one, it was like, because you know what's at stake before you go in to read for the network, because they cut your deal before you go in, so exactly how much money you will or will not get.
Yeah.
And so I think I was just able to really relax and go in and have fun and, go out and concentrate on something else.
Yeah. Now, when people say they do it all, you seriously do it all. I mean, you're not only an actor, but you also do theater and stand-up and voiceovers and write.
Right.
When most people just stick to one thing or maybe two, how did you come to put your hands in everything and not only that, but be successful at all of them?
I think part of it is just, my drive to continue to work, to float from one thing to the next, and then a lot of luck. It's like the voiceover world is really a hard world. It's a hard nut to crack. And, I literally work for the same people over and over again, the same four or five different producers. And once you're in with some people that like what you do, then they just keep using you. And that's how that works. And they'll refer you to other people. And, so that's what sort of got the voiceover thing going. And then, as a comic, I started doing that in high school. Acting is just, as an actor, you just try to keep the ball rolling.
When did you know you wanted to be an actor?
Probably not. It's like people say that I used to say it in high school, that I would be on television, that I wanted to be on television, but I don't remember saying that. And then, in fact, I went to USC on a debate scholarship. And so I was, using that to go to law school. And then I think it wasn't until I changed majors, and got into the Bachelor of Fine Arts acting program at USC that all of a sudden, okay, this has to work out.
Yeah. I think you said something like, you don't choose acting, acting chooses you.
Yeah, it's like, if you just wake up one day and go and decide, well, okay, I think I'm going to be an actor. What does that really mean? Until you had a taste of it, once you have a taste of it, something inside you says, hey, I have got to do this. This is, thing is calling me, it's pulling me. And you know, because clearly at any point I could have went back and gone to law school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially on moments where, you know, nothing was going on for a couple of months at a time. But just that pull of the craft, you know, just kept me going. And I think that's what that means. You know, it's like you get, people say you get bitten by the bug, and that's what it is. It's like, you know, it's like you're possessed by it.
Yeah, I know that possession. Your first professional job was Hill Street Blues, and you've pretty much been working nonstop from then on. How have you been able to maintain a career this long?
You know, I think it's just been, you know, a lot of luck, a lot of, you know, I had a couple of years where I was having agency issues, and you know, those were very slow years. But I had, in those years, I had a couple of great jobs, you know what I mean? And so, just being able to get the right team in place. Like right now, I think this is the first time I've had all of the pieces in place to really sort of help me get to the next level, you know, in terms of an agency that's hungry and that, you know, really believes in what I do, a management team that feels the same way. And also a publicist to really sort of get me some name recognition, sort of tie the name to the face. And this is the first time that I've had all those pieces in place at the same time. And I think that really is the key, you know, once you pass a certain point. I mean, clearly early in your career, you don't need a manager per se because you don't have anything to manage. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are you cutting off, you know, 15-20% when you're not making that much? I mean, if you're not making, you know, about $250 a year, it's like it's really not worth it for you to have a manager.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't do multiple things, it's not worth it for you to have a manager. You know, because it's like if the way I see management working is that they capitalize on everything you do and everything you can do. You know, if you can excel as a producer, director, writer, actor, comic, then, you know, that manager needs to make you money in all those areas. And so I do think that publicity is very important early on. Like if you book a series and all of a sudden you're not the lead in the series, if you're not Chuck, for example, you know, the network really isn't promoting you to promote the series. They're using Chuck to promote the series.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so clearly, if this is, you know, your first job, then what you need to do is get a publicist to capitalize on your visibility. You know, while you're working, get you onto magazines and blogs and guest appearances on television shows, if that can happen, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of work that needs to be done early in career. Like the first series I had, nobody said that to me, and had I known that, I would have spent the money back then. You know, it makes sense to spend that money because it only helps you.
A lot of your work, pretty much, you come into a scene and you dominate it in a completely great way, and then you leave. You're just so memorable. And all the stuff that you do, how do you prepare? What are the things you normally do when working on a role?
I was talking to a writer the other night at the thing in San Diego, filmmakers event, and he had asked the question about, you know, what do you want from the writer? You know, do you want him to give you sort of stage directions that say frown here or whatever? And I said to him, no, I don't want you to give me any of that stuff. You know, I want to find it organically. And in the process of preparing for a role, you know, I go through and I find, you know, those things. But most importantly, you know, I find something active to play. The writer and I continued our conversation after the thing was over, and I said to him, I said, look, what I want you to give me in the script is, what do I want? You know, but I don't want you to give me that in stage directions. I want it in the writing so that I can see in the piece, you know, my character wants X. in every scene, he's driving toward X. You know, in some scenes he gets it, and some scenes he doesn't. Maybe overall he doesn't ultimately get what he's after, but at least it gives me something active to play. Uh-huh. You know, I drew an example for him from the last play I did was The Piano Lesson, and my character in that play shows up at a house, at his sister and uncle's house, and there's a piano there that belongs to their family, and he needs that piano. He wants that piano so he can sell it, get some money to put with part of the money that he has saved, and then he shows up with a truckload of watermelons that he's going to sell and put those three parts together and buy the land that his family has worked, that he's currently working as a sharecropper, and his family has worked as slaves. So he wants that piano. That's what his through line is for the whole play. That's his objective. So every time I hit the stage, before I went on, I'd stand backstage, I'd go, okay, go get that piano. And so even if the scene is not about me getting the piano, it really is. You know, underneath everything else that he's saying, you know, his objective is to get that piano. You know, sometimes, like let's say in real life, for example, you are busted. You are completely broke. Your phone bill is due. Your rent is due. You talk to your parents, but you don't really talk to them about what's going on in your life because you don't want to upset them. And, you know, finally the question is, so how's everything going? Oh, everything's okay. And you never really say exactly what you need from them, but you might say something to the effect of, yeah, I just don't know where this phone bill is coming from. Or something like that. You don't just straight out ask them for it. And sometimes writing doesn't do that for you. I mean, writing gives you everything but what your ask needs to be. And so you have to use those words in a way to help you get what you want. And, you know, acting 101 is what do I want? And so that's the way I prepare. I try to find out exactly what I want in the scene, and it gives me something active to play. And that's what I do.
Yeah.
And so when I'm working, when you see me working, it's like, it's because I'm active. And I think that's why it's so different from a lot of people, because they're playing emotions and stuff like that. And, you know, because I have a stage background, I mean, that's the way you work in. And really, if you watch the really good actors, I mean, that's what it is. People that are really engaging is because they're actively playing something.
Yeah, true. So true. Do you still get nervous before you do a scene or when the lights come up on stage?
In theater, I do. Right before I go on for the first scene, I always have some butterflies. In TV and film, it's so disjointed and distracting that I'm really concentrating on just staying focused. And so I don't have time to get nervous.
Yeah.
But in theater, it's like, you know, especially that first time I hit the stage, I mean, you know, you're really trying to set a pace. And I get nervous right before I do that.
What is your, what's your advice to actors?
Be prepared. In all of it. I mean, every step of the way. It's like from the audition to the job. You know, to the end of the job, be prepared. It's like when you go into audition, if you walk in and you haven't really prepared and you see me sitting in the room, you are not going to get a job. You know, and when I say me, I mean there's other actors out there that are prepared. It's like you see an actor that you see all the time because they're ready. So you got to be prepared. It's like I remember one of my first auditions. I walk in and I used to watch Beretta all the time, and Huggy Bear was there.
Uh-huh.
And I saw his size, and he was reading for the same part, and it kind of threw me. And then I thought, well, if they want him, you know, he's been around a long time. They're gonna, you know, he's gonna be the guy that they get. And it relaxed me, and I was prepared. You know, I went in prepared. And I think because I was relaxed, Huggy Bear didn't get a job.
You stole a job from Huggy Bear.
Yeah, I got past the fact that it was Huggy Bear, and you know, either they wanted him or they wanted me, because we were so vastly different at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, even age wise, it's like it was everybody that was seeing everybody for that. I think there were even a couple of women reading for the same part.
Whew.
And you know, that's when you know they really don't know what they want. And you know, I ended up with that job, and that was a great learning experience for me early on. That you know, my preparation was there. And no matter who's in the room, if you're prepared, you may do something that changes their mind about the way they see the role. Or if they don't see it in a certain way, you know, they'll see you and go, oh, wow, that's what it is.
Now, by be prepared, are you saying memorizing the sides and knowing it backwards and forwards? And coming in with different
things? My school thought is this. Well, when I say be prepared, I say... you know, for me, that means having something to play. You know, I'm not just saying words, regurgitating words. I'm actually actively playing something. Also, I tend not to memorize the sides, and I actually use them in the scene because I feel like, and I don't know where I got this from. Nobody ever said this to me, but in my head, I feel like if I come in memorized, I feel like they may think, okay, that was the performance. And I know that in my process, the way I work, I get better every take. You know, so I don't want them thinking that this is the best they can get. So even if it is memorized, I still hold it in my hand and look at it as if I'm reading it. You know, because I don't want them thinking that this is the performance. You know, this is the best he's going to be.
Thanks, Mark, and thank you for listening. Don't forget to join the Facebook page at facebook.com/dailyactor. And, as always, keep coming back to dailyactor.com for more great interviews, columns, and resources. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.